It is Locked On Jazz for the 10th of July. They've practiced. They're underway. We'll talk about what's going on in Orlando. Still trying to find some lineup magic, and the rabbit hole leads very little. Your questions on a live edition of Locked On Jazz all coming up. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan. We are coming to you live on Instagram, on Periscope, on Twitch, on Facebook. We can't wait to get your questions. Hello, Lee. Hi, B-Train. Hi, Alex. Hi, Brett. Hi, Steve. Hi, Riley. Hi, Andrew. Hi, everybody. I hope everybody's doing great and doesn't mind my crazy hair that's just out of control today. And one of these days I'll actually like shower beforehand or look good. Instead, I've just done a little yoga. So I wanted to share with you, I was trying to play around with lineup stuff today, and I thought it was fun. So I'll start it off with you. So we know, here's what we know about this roster. We know all 48 minutes of our center will be Rudy Gobert and Tony Bradley, right? Like we know that at this point. That's kind of it. I think we know that Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, Donovan Mitchell, and Mike Conley will start. Okay, so who's, like, at that point in my mind, I actually really see Joe Ingles as our backup point guard. I actually can probably give some data to prove that. He just happens to be starting. We're starting Royce O'Neal at 6'4" as our power forward in all reality. So it starts to get interesting of what you can do with your lineups at that point. So let's play. If you start with Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley, Royce O'Neal, and Joe Ingles, they'll be starting together. You get really excited. They're plus 23.3 together for the season. And then you realize they've only played 35 possessions together all season long. And so what that tells me is this is a complete redo, reboot, rebuild. Rebuild's not the right, because that implies you're getting rid of players. But there's actually nothing in here that the Jazz have actually already done. And so, like, then we start, the one that's interesting, we've talked about this before, is when you have all three point guards on the floor, Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and Joe Ingles on the floor, we're actually not very good. There's a duplication. I think Joe kind of loses his vibe, not getting the ball. That grouping has not worked this year. So when you have Mike, Donovan, and Joe on the floor together, you're minus 5.5. So now you start to try to figure out what you're doing with those other four spots when you don't have all three of them on the floor, and who's the four spot? So if we put our three best scorers on the floor, Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and Jordan Clarkson. Now that Bojan's gone, those are our three most dynamic scorers on the floor together. Well, they've only played 78 possessions before together. They're a minus 5.4, and they're horrific defensively. Horrific. If you bring Royce O'Neal into that lineup, a little bit of a defensive presence, and again, he's 6'4". And now we're playing Mike Conley 6'1", Donovan Mitchell 6'1", Jordan Clarkson like 6'3 or 6'4", and Royce O'Neal 6'4". I mean, we're crazy small, but frankly, playoffs go small every year. And you try to bring that into the mix, you're minus 10.8. But you've done most of those minutes with Tony Bradley, not Rudy Gobert, because Rudy Gobert always played with Bojan Bogdanovic. So it starts to get really complicated in trying to figure out how you ever get any of these to match in any way. What is interesting in this, so Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, like they've played 13 like you start playing with these and you end up with like no possessions. So Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, George Niang. They've played 7 possessions together all year. 7. You start to try to put things together and it becomes almost impossible. We had a lineup going. The bench unit lineup is the only lineup that the Jazz have that has a track record, that has enough data, that makes you actually say to yourself, oh, they could be all right. So, just to put this in perspective, for the season, right, we're about plus 3.3. Not, like, unbelievable. We're the 9th best offense. We're the 10th best defense. The offense has taken a little bit of a jump from since we added Jordan Clarkson, we're way better. We're the number 1 offense in the league since Christmas Day. And, you know, getting rid of Jeff Green's negative possessions really helped. The lineups are 6 most commonly used lineups. All involve Bojan Bogdanović. All involve Rudy Gobert. The lineup that has played the most amount of possessions together for the Utah Jazz as they head to Orlando is Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, George Niang, Tony Bradley, and it's been awesome. Plus 31. Awesome. Can you really try to build an entire rotation backwards because you have a bench unit you want to have on the floor? Seems crazy. Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, George Niang, Tony Bradley, also very good. Again, only against bench units. Sometimes I think when bench units play well, it's actually a tribute to the coaching staff that they're using their guys correctly, and so they're putting them in the right position, and therefore things turn, you know, if it's going badly, you pull them and you get them off the floor. What's so tricky about all of this analysis is that Rudy Gobert's impact is so significant on how anything looks for us. And so trying to analyze who goes where, what goes where, when Bojan and Rudy have been together for all of it, and we have, it feels to me like we actually have an entire reboot in 21 days with 8 games of practice before we head into the playoffs. It's just a totally different team. And you're trying to use that 8 games as this minuscule sample size to make you ready for the playoffs. It's very complicated. If you're going to play Royce O'Neal as the power forward, and we have very few other choices, might as well play Emmanuel Mudiay as the power forward. Might as well play, just be crazy small and fast. Conley, Mitchell. Now, Mudiay is not fast, but he's the same size. Royce is probably a little bit of a better shooter. And we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, there's 31 minutes of Bojan that has to be distributed. And when we talk about it most of the time, we're distributing those minutes to guys that are already playing huge amounts of minutes. So that leads me to believe that we're actually off kilter a little bit on how this is going to work. If you missed the discussion earlier in the week, shame on you for not listening to Locked On Jazz every day, because we do this every single day, Monday through Friday, for about 30 minutes so that you can be up to date on your Utah Jazz. But the point of this conversation, and I don't want to actually assume everyone heard, is if you look at Bojan is playing this year 33.1 minutes a night. There's 33 minutes that has to be moved somewhere. Okay, Jordan Clarkson's playing 25. We could pick that up a little bit, and then you're sliding Royce over to power forward. But Royce O'Neal was playing 29 minutes a night already. So what are you doing? You're moving him to 33? Okay, that's 4. We did this the other day. Jordan, 5, that's 9. We still got 24 minutes we've got to distribute. Joe Ingles was at 30. Mike Conley was at 29. We don't really want to push those guys behind that, beyond that. Like, it is a... George Niang... Okay, well, George Niang plays a larger role. George Niang was playing 13 minutes a night. George Niang maybe, and doing great. Averaging 6 points a game, shooting 42% from three, doing great. There's, I think, I could be wrong, a cap on how many minutes George Niang can play effectively. I think. I might not be right. But I don't think George Niang can push to 30 and have us be successful. So do you suddenly have Jarrell Brantley and Juwan Morgan getting time? Rookies, late second round draft picks, not undrafted, heading into the playoffs. That's not the greatest scenario. All right, let's get to your questions. Get them rolling. Today's show brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. I'm heading down there. The minute we're done with the show today, they've been very helpful on a bunch of stuff. Super appreciate all the help. The lineup of Murdoch Hyundai cars are incredible. The SUV lineup is the Kona. It's the Tucson. And then it's the Santa Fe. The Santa Fe is the biggest SUV. Got the great safety ratings. Every safety feature imaginable. Great size. We actually have bought two of them since my association with Murdoch Hyundai. Because we did the I did the research, looked at it, feel totally comfortable with them. So, super appreciate them for that. Y'all, if you're going to stop by Murdoch Hyundai and see their amazing selection of car, please email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. And we will see if we can get you an opportunity to get, we'll get you set up with a VIP meeting. Jason Kreese will help you out over at the Murdoch store at 4646. Somebody in Linden or in Logan, whichever it is for you. If you're looking for a car right now, make sure you take a moment and at least give a look at the Hyundai lineup. See what you can get for your dollar. And then once you decide to stop by the dealership, make sure we set it up for you. At 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. It's Murdoch Hyundai. All right, let's get to your questions today. We are live on Locked On Live today on Twitch, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Periscope. We super appreciate all of you stopping by, or I do. Alex, will George Niang's role increase with Bogey? Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for him. If we're going to play a little faster and be a little bit more one-on-one, I think he should be able to do some things. He's actually one of our better one-on-one players. The question is going to be what we just discussed a moment ago. How many minutes can we ask out of George Niang? And that's, I think, going to be the trickiest part for the Jazz, is how far can they push George, keep him healthy, keep him going. He's done a lot of work on his body to get healthier. He's a great shooter. I mean, a great, great shooter. He's a bona fide scorer, second all-time leading scorer at Iowa State. So he's got the ability to make all those plays and do all the things you need to do. Defensively, teams go at him. I actually am not sure whether I think he's a bad defender, or the minute you get labeled a bad defender in this league and they go at you, the players are so gifted and the fact that the talent in the league is so great that the minute you label you as like a guy we're going to go after defensively, very rarely do you survive that. And so I do feel like George, like the minute George is on the floor, the other coach is like one-on-one ISO at George every time. And when you see that, I don't know if I really think that that's like on George. I just know that the other team goes at him every time. And the way the league rules are, you can't touch, you can't do anything, you can't do this. If they're isolating you and you're out in the middle of the floor and you got a world-class offensive player on you, I think that label is actually worse than anyone's defense. I truly believe that. And so, like, the first thing you got to do is avoid ever getting labeled that or having it that the minute you check in the game, they go there. So that's going to be a huge question, this. Like, George averaged 13 minutes a game coming into this period. He shot it great, as we talked about, 42%. His scoring per minutes is great. His corner three is amazing. And the question is going to be, how far can he, his body, and productively him go beyond 13 George Niang is actually on the show right now. I didn't see this. And on Instagram said, that's a mistake. I'm the new Ron Artest. George, that would be world peace to you. That would be world peace. You are world peace. You are the most enjoyable person out there. So you probably are meta world peace. Always nice to have the player we're talking about pop onto Instagram Live and listen to the show while we're talking about it. But I will always say this. I hope the players believe this as well. Anything I actually ever say on the show, usually before COVID, I would talk to them about. Like I would say, hey, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, things like that. And like this is a conversation I would actually have with George about the fact that he gets isolated by the opposing team the minute he checks in the game and the league. Like you could do that to most guys in this league. And it happens to a lot of guys, frankly. You know, I think, you know, you see in just about any game you ever watch in the NBA, coach is bringing two guys together in a pick and roll, forcing a switch to get a matchup. So this is not unique to the Utah Jazz and to George in any way at all on that. But we're going to have to create a signal. Every time George gets a stop, he's going to have to like give the lock sign or something that says like, I'm locking him down, but also telling lock that he's locked on. Something of the sort. This is getting bad. I will stop. There. You know, he's shutting the minivan door with his defense. Okay, I'll stop. I'm out of practice. It's bad. Jason Morford says, must be weird for you not to be with the team. It sucked. I'm not like a member of the team. They play, they coach, they live it. I get to go home. I've got to, like, I don't have a record. I'm not like that of a member of the team, but everything that ever, like, this is the first time other than the two times I missed games because of the fact that I was watching my son compete in ski racing, that the team has gone and done something and I haven't been there. So I always say it's an honor to have a front row seat to what they're doing because I'm not really a part of the team in that sense. And it's weird to not have the front row seat right now. Kind of depressing, actually. Kind of sucks, to be totally honest with you, if I'm just going to be really, really clear. From Eric on Facebook, do you think that Gobert and Donovan might play better together without Bogey there? Donovan will play more pick and roll with him. I know we got Bogey to make us better offensively, but maybe that's what caused a bit of the issue between Donovan not passing enough to him. Okay, there's some funny like perception versus reality issues going on here. If you look at the data, the pick and roll between Rudy and Donovan has never been better. In fact, has made incredible growth patterns this year compared to last year. Quite honestly, last year it was bad. Joe and Rudy were better. Ricky and Rudy were better than Donovan and Rudy. Donovan and Rudy struggled badly on the pick and roll last year. The second part of this that is this year, they're way better. They've gotten vastly improved. The other one, Donovan probably could pass more. Okay, great. He's also like on the verge of averaging 30 points a game as a player in the NBA in a year or two. Like, he's not winning the assist title. He's not going to be Tiny Archibald. The other thing that is being completely not talked about at all in this conversation about Donovan passing, and I kind of frankly think it's total crap that it's not being talked about, is what pass people think Donovan's going to make. I can go look at the data for you. 6'1" guards do not make passes paint to paint over people to other people very often in the league. We can sit here and do this non-playing freeze frame bullcrap where we freeze the tape, not having ever played in the NBA and understand the size and speed of NBA players, and sit there and say, oh, look, Rudy's wide open. Donovan should have got him. And I'm sure we can find two or three of those a night but what is Donovan's job? Donovan's job is to score and be our leading scorer and put the ball in the hoop. So when he comes out the pick, and is driving the basket, that's what he's looking for. Okay? It's the same thing we saw with Mike early in the year. Mike's been the leading scorer in Memphis for the last 3 years, scoring 21 points a game, and the adjustment out of that is incredibly difficult. So then we've suddenly saw Mike doing the Nash dribble and going back underneath, trying to find other opportunities instead of thinking shoot first. But you're not doing the Nash dribble if you're thinking shoot first. Like if you come off that pick and roll and you're thinking score, then your first thought is score. If that gets taken away from you, maybe then you look past. But the third choice would be to go Nash dribble, and you're not doing it very often. If you go look at paint-to-paint passes, so Donovan comes off a pick. He's in the paint, right? It's a pick and roll. It's straight away. Jazz have played with angles this year. Or even in, you know, he's 12 feet away from the basket. If you go look at the data in this league and how many passes are being made from player to player like that, it's few and far between. And I would remind you that Rudy's close to leading the league in that. And there's been a massive trend in the league to take the rim away. So could Donovan pass more? Sure. Is it a truly fair and valid criticism? Not so sure. Like, you can say someone should do something and be right, and then actually be not fair about it. Because the passes are nearly impossible. They're not as open as we think they are. And even more so, they're not passes that are made by primary scorers in this league. At some point, you can't be asking Donovan for 30 points and 10 assists. That's my thought on that. Today's show is brought to you by Homie. Your real estate friends are revolutionizing the real estate market and doing amazing things. Find out more by texting LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588. The Homie's saving you in commissions, both on the buyer and the seller side. It's a great backstory. The guy started a business out of BYU business school. They built it into a property management group, and then they looked to the next industry in which they could go alter and change, and they found the real estate agent. Doing amazing things in Utah, saving tons of money, paying less on commissions, giving you more equity at the done, and selling homes faster and for more money than other places in the market. Check out Homie. Find out more at 88588. That's 88588. Text LOCK to 88588. Insider Spencer Langford says, I'm hearing rumors the Jazz will trade Rudy or Donovan. Any truth to this? Spencer Langford, Jazz Insider. Like, I'm mocking the crap out of you, Spencer. I love you. But, like, I'm hearing rumors? Like, what? Like, the Jazz, let's make sure we understand contractually what's going on here. At the end of this year, the Jazz will offer Donovan a $100 million plus contract. Donovan can say no to that. And then play next year for like $3 million. Seems like a bad decision. Even a worse decision, because then in the offseason, after only playing for $3 million instead of $100 million, Donovan will then go to the market, get a max offer that we can match. Okay? So Donovan is going to re-sign for his second contract with the Utah Jazz. That's certain. Rudy is up for a supermax. Supermaxes have been very difficult across the league and hard for teams to do. And in fact, in most cases, the players have not stayed with their team on the supermax. So that's facts. However, the Jazz can offer Rudy more money than anyone else in the league. And Rudy's a one in a million player who changes the game offensively and defensively. And if we let Rudy go, we're like the Phoenix Suns without DeAndre Ayton, with no chance to replace Rudy that I can come up with. It might turn out to be a really, really tough financial decision to pay Rudy that much money. But you don't get that shit just right back. Like, you don't say, oh, well, we're not going to spend 30 there, so we get 30 for this. Like, it doesn't quite work that easily. So for all of these rumors that Spencer Langford is hearing, Spencer, I'm having fun. Seems very unlikely to me. Seems very likely. Now, is everybody in the NBA available at all times? Yes. Right? Yes. Like, don't kid yourself. We'll never trade so-and-so. That's not true. The only player that is probably not available in a trade is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Maybe Steph Curry. But otherwise, everyone's available. For the right package. The right deal. The right player. almost everybody would have been available for the first round pick for Zion last year. So I'm not about to sit here and tell you that we'd never trade him. Hard for me to see the scenario where we get value. This front office has been pretty impeccable in maintaining value. Therefore, seems unlikely. Somebody offers Giannis Antetokounmpo? See ya. Warriors offer Steph Curry? See ya. Right? Like, so I think you've got to be understanding that we're in an advantage, the Jazz are in an advantage position to maintain both those players, and they're going to have to learn how to play well together. I think that a lot of this stuff will be helpful. I think, you know, it's interesting a little bit of the way it's come out. Rudy's talked about relationships with players off the court, and the Donovan stuff seems to be on the court. So each of them work on their own thing, and they'll get better. Spencer, I was just playing with you. Tyson Tanner, do you think Jarrell Brantley could get any minutes or have any sort of impact in Orlando? His size seems ideal for what we need to help replace Bogey. Is he ready? So let me give you two thoughts on this, Tyson, on Facebook. Fundamentally, a second-round draft pick as a rookie working toward the playoffs seems, who hasn't played all year, seems incredibly unlikely. Same thing like Juwan Morgan. Doesn't mean the Jazz don't like him, and Dennis Lindsay in his presser the other day talked about how those players have made like the year one to year two jump already, like that this off season time gave them the year one versus year two jump. And so that's pretty exciting. But just fundamentally, playoffs, second year player hasn't played, or first year player, second round pick hasn't played much. Seems really unlikely you're giving him a major role. Now, with that said, I do think that there's a unique opportunity here with the amount of minutes we just talked about earlier in the show that Boyan has available to take a player like Jarrell Brantley and give him, or Juwan Morgan, and give him 16 to 18 minutes of legitimate bona fide NBA time and see how they handle it. Maybe not that many, maybe 12, and see what they can do. And I think it's much better than summer league time. It's much better. Like, it's real NBA minutes against NBA players to see what you can do in that circumstance. To me, that's the value here. From Park Crawl on Instagram, how does Emmanuel Mudiay fit in when they return to play? I think Emmanuel could play backup point guard. I think Emmanuel could play backup power forward. I think Emmanuel could just play. He's a basketball player. But when you look at our rotation right now, you've got our five starters, Conley, Donovan, Joe, Royce, and Rudy. You have Tony Bradley. You have Jordan Clarkson. You have George Niang. You need a ninth player, and that's Emmanuel. I think you could play him. I actually think, need a little more thought on this one. Probably need to talk to somebody smarter than me. The data shows that when Donovan Mitchell is on the floor with Mike Conley or Joe Ingles, we're great. When he's on the floor with all three, we're not great. All three are on together, we're not great. If you bring Emmanuel in, he's now playing with Donovan, and Donovan's not with Mike or not with Joe, and then the data's not great. So I actually think sliding Emmanuel off ball at like a four is actually maybe a better rotational way to do it for the team. Now, I don't know. And, you know, this is where I really feel like we're in a massive reboot of who we are as a team, because we're just changing so many things. Lucas on Facebook, what if we play small and make other teams match us? Tell Rudy to go get 25 rebounds a night. If he does, he gets a bonus. Well, legally, you can't do that, but I think we're going to be there. Like, I think Rudy's going to have to be unbelievable in his rebounding work. Would it be wise to play Rudy and Tony and three shooters similar to Fave and Rudy, says Ryan Madsen? Probably not, because we couldn't score with Don. We had a hard time scoring with Derek and Rudy together, so I think we'd probably have a hard time scoring with Tony. There's no floor space. You can't have, it's very, very hard to have two non-shooters on the floor at the same time. Marin points out that George Niang has some ankle soreness. That is correct. He does. I would not be surprised if we don't have a bunch of repetitive use injuries on players coming out here. Most players were restricted to one or two devices, a bike or a treadmill or something like that. And I think you end up with some players having to come off repetitive injury kind of stuff because they were working out, doing all their work, but they weren't doing the versatility of what they were doing before. So if you suddenly lose George Niang, you know, if George, this is where Jarrell Brantley, Juwan Morgan get some great opportunities, is if in those eight games, the seeding's playing out, George has got some ankle soreness, you decide you want to give George a night or two, we're a long way away, we're 21 days away still, then you can let those guys play. Eric Wood says, would the Jazz ever consider making Rudy a lesser part of a game plan in a series against Houston? And would it be okay? Would he be okay with it? I feel like a lineup of Conley, Mitchell, Clarkson, Royce, and Joe would be fun. So I'm sure Rudy would not be okay with it. He's an all-NBA player, and you're trying to sit him. And that fundamental concept seems really bad. That you would take your best player and minimize him against an opponent. I think the answer is you try to figure out how to use your best player or one of your best players to do that. B-Train, can any lessons be learned from Oklahoma City's three-guard lineup that can be transferred to the Jazz? I think there's something interesting in what they've done this year. We've really basically done it, right? For the last 3 or 4 years under Quinn, we've had multiple pick-and-roll players at all time coming at you from different angles and doing, all of these different things. So in a lot of ways, I think that we've actually been doing a lot of the same stuff. But yes, multiple pick-and-roll players, multiple isolation players on the floor at the same time is a trend continuing. Why has no one talked about how terrible it is to get a COVID brain swab? I can't imagine getting that done every day. I'm wondering if it gets better every day. I had it done in Oklahoma City. It is not great. I would agree. That is a fair point. Great questions today. From Facebook. Nice. James says he'll be sending me a nice story that Donovan Mitchell had. Is there someone on the team that NBA analysts would agree is a two-way player? From RJ. That's it. So offense and defense, two-way is what you mean? No, we probably don't. I mean, we don't have a defensive stopper, do we? Royce? But he's not really the other-way player. So no. There's, two-way players, an all-star. Right? I mean, like elite level offensive, elite level defensive players, they're all stars. John Lewis says, how is Tony Bradley? He looked great. I heard something about him getting big. No, opposite. He looks slim. He got a little more, a little stronger, but he looks great. He looks absolutely great. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in to the live show. We really appreciate it. Friday edition of Locked On NBA with Anthony is and Adam is up and there for you. Remember, Monday, Josh Lloyd will have the biggest local experts on the biggest stories. Thanks so much for tuning into Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Have a great day.